Hello there. You're about ready to listen to a very special sneak peek of our Patreon-exclusive show, Spider-Versity. This is the show where Sal from Comic Pop and myself explore every aspect of Spider-Man media. So if you enjoy this episode and would like to check out the rest, you can do that over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spider-Versity. This is the show where Sal and I talk about Spider-Man. I'm your host, DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Sal. Sal, hey, man.
Hello. Hey.
Are you...
Thwip.
Oh, my God. And this is a very special... This is a very special one because we're talking about Madam Web... No, I'm kidding. We're talking about Across the Spider-Verse. I will talk a little bit about... So this is going to be a little bit weird because there's people are going to be watching this at different times. People could watch this live or after it's, you know, the video of it after it's aired. And yes. That's patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. And we're appreciative of you doing that. Yes, yeah. Please and thank you. And then, you know, you can listen to the audio of this. Live people got a little extra convo ahead of time. But, you know, you can listen to the audio of this later. But I'm also, because this is a special, you know, Across the Spider-Verse, every once in a while we want to give the normal free listeners a little taste to beckon them over.
A sousson, if you will. Yes. Come, please.
And so this is going to be one of those. Our movies we do in two parts. This first part's going to be at is going to be after the patrons get it. Go out to the general public. So if you're one of those people, you've already heard me talk about Madam Web with Roxy. I'm technically recording this before that, and I literally just saw Madam Web yesterday.
So it's the freshest it's going to be right now is your very quick, brief hot take on Madam Web, if you deem this a good venue for that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is the Spider-Man. So I will tell you this, dude. I am excited for when we cover it for this show.
Right.
Because there's so much to unpack. Of just so many baffling, confusing, like,
can you feel the cuts? Because I know that, like, there was a big... I don't know if you can even call it a rumor, but just a term like that they were saying they had to remove all the Peter Parker stuff out of the movie. Like, you feel the cuts?
No, you can't feel the cuts so much, except when you step back. I just wonder what happened, because there's very... I don't want to get into... I'm probably going to get into spoilers on the main show, but there's a version of this movie... That it's like, what if Terminator, but the Sarah Connor, John Connor's Peter Parker and Sarah Connor's Peter's mom.
Okay.
And you're like, that's not a movie I would ask for or want, but I do understand. I understand the instinct.
I could see that in a comic book, actually.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a fun, like, Marvel Universe style, like, a Deathlok goes back in time to stop Spider-Man.
Dude, Deathlok would be...
Why that's Madam a movie. Web? That's oh, my the, God, we just made Madam Web.
Yeah, like why? That's the thing that the movie never... Why Madam Web? Why Ezekiel Sims? Why is... Who told these Sony execs that these characters existed?
Right. It wasn't like they knew it on their own.
No, it's like, why... And it's not even like... Because we've talked at length on this show about how they basically just watched the 90s animated cartoon and have based everything off that. But this isn't even that Madam Web. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
Well, they knew at least. Like, you're not going to want to bone a 108-year-old woman.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll give. Have some kind of, you got to give them something.
Yeah, I will tell you this. The lead cast, and not to be rude or cracks, whatever, or reductive. Yeah, they're easy on the eyes. And truthfully, they're really talented. They're just given. Absolute fuck all to work with.
absolutely. May I share just a brief? There's a guy, Sean O'Connell, on Twitter who has two quotes.
Yeah.
That I love for this movie, and I want to set him against someone who actually saw them. First one that I love: Dakota Johnson looks as bored as you'll feel.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah.
No notes. The next one: it makes Morbius look like the Dark Knight.
Yeah. I will say. Feel like that's a bit overblown.
Morbius is pretty rough.
Morbius is rough. I think there's an argument to be made that it is worse in that Madam Web and Ezekiel Sims are worse characters than Morbius. Yes. However, I would rather watch Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney than Jared Leto do anything. Yeah. On the other hand, see, this is back and forth. On the other hand, Matt Smith And Matt Smith is like real good.
And he's great in that movie. Like he knows, because he knows what movie he's in.
Yeah. And he's also and also the movie gets out of his way. Like like there's moments where Madam Webb is like, Dakota Johnson, you're actually really could have get good at this like snarky, disaffected, like what the fuck is going on thing. Yeah. We're gonna let you do that. But then also, what if you did like this really like important like monologue about the future? And it's like, that's not,
you can't have both.
Yeah, that's not, that doesn't, that's bad. That's just bad. And then and I can't get over that I watched a movie where the lead is Madam Webb and she's fighting Ezekiel Sims, man. Like that's the
you could put clone,
do the clones. Do the clones before you do Ezekiel Sims, cuz at least the clones are, Spider-Man's a sci-fi character and the clones are a sci-fi concept.
Right.
Like, what's with the magic shit, man? Like, is Alan, am I wrong? Do people like love the, anytime we try to do the like Peter Parker's actually magic shit?
Dude, so here's the thing about that, okay? Because I hate that Spider-Man's like a multiversal character. Like, somebody was pitching something on Twitter the other day where they were like, this is what I want for the next trilogy. And it was just images of Spider-Man blasting headfirst through nebulous hoops in the middle of the multiverse. And I was like, I like the poor kid from Queens, and I know that like one of my other favorite things is that he has a spaceborne alien suit from Beyond the Stars that wants to eat brains.
Yeah,
but like that's as far as we go. Yeah, you know, and but at the same time, it sells. Like multiversal Spider-Verse, Spider-Geddon, Spider-Man, the Into the Spider-Verse, like these movies, comic books, and adaptations, ideas, they sell and people love them. And I think it's just like, if you are a comic book reader, you're like, absolutely not. This is not my cup of tea. Except even those sell.
Yeah.
But if you're a casual fan, if you are a moviegoer,
yeah,
this is fun and interesting. And actually gives me a point of view character. Like, I think part of the reason why the multiversal saga of the MCU isn't working is because there's no main character. With Spider-Verse, I know who the main character is.
Yeah, and you kind of know, like, you know, like, kids, are you excited to see multiple versions of Doctor Strange? No. Like, nobody. No, Doctor Strange is not, I like Doctor Strange, but he's not Spider-Man. Would you like to see multiple versions of Spider-Man? It's like, well, here's my
movie. Kinda.
Yeah. And the one, and I think we've talked about this before, like, because again, Spider-Man's a sci-fi concept, so that works. You can't do it. I understand the desire to do it, but that wouldn't work with, like, Batman, weirdly. Like, that's, it didn't.
They did it. Like, they did a Spider-Verse with Batman in the Chip Zdarsky run.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like weird.
Yeah, and that's so interesting, because one of the things that I think has made Batman so successful, I don't even think arguably, but I'm going to hedge my bets and say arguably more successful than somebody like Superman,
right,
is the versatility. You can have the campy 66 show, you can have the Dark Knight, all that works on Batman, but for some reason that multiverse stuff, you're like, no, that's not right.
The bridge too far. Yeah. And it's the same concept, right? Poor kid from Queens cleans up crime.
Yeah.
Rich vigilante beats up criminals. Like, that's the same idea.
Yeah.
You know, like, where it's like, oh, I like street level gritty crime dramas. I think the other reason why it works so well, why people are so willing to swallow it, and I wrote a whole article about this for CBR like a decade ago.
Yeah.
When I say a decade ago, I mean like during the pandemic. So how long ago was that? I don't know. But Spider-Man isn't a sci-fi character. He's a YA character.
Spider-Man
is a Harry Potter, and anything can happen to him. Like, Spider-Man, as long as he fits the tenets, dead parents, you know, nebulous origins, you can ascribe your personality onto him. Like, why are there so many people with so many disparate interpretations of Peter Parker, and yet they're all wrong? Because everyone is basically putting themselves onto Peter Parker for themselves.
Yeah.
He's a YA character.
Yeah, 100%. And for that,
you could do anything.
Yeah, to your point, and I think we're moseying our way to a segue into our main topic.
Exactly.
The YA part of it, and part of that is what baffles me with what Sony's doing. Your most successful thing, I feel like, going right now is the movies we're about ready to talk about, Across the Spider-Verse. And so you're like, you've seen this successful franchise that has successfully introduced to the world Miguel O'Hara and Miles Morales and Spider-Gwen and all these things, Spider-Man India. And your instinct is like, what if we did a Kraven movie? Like, what are you talking? Do a Spider-Man 2099 movie. Like, what are you struggling with? Or to your, we talked about this when we were talking, I think one of the Tom Holland movies, we talked about this. You're right. He is a YA character. So do what you did with Harry Potter and have Tom Holland in a movie every year until he's too old. Like do seven movies in 7 years.
Hell yes. Yes. Yeah. No. I mean, like, that's what they want. Yeah. I mean, that's what Warner Brothers arguably is in a state of tumult for a variety of reasons.
Yes.
But notwithstanding one of the basic, you know, in terms of like franchise reasons, is because they ran out of Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
One Harry Potter movie every Christmas for 7 years. You can hang your hat on that. You can make a career. You can make plans on that consistency. Oh, that an entire generation of people will go to the movies on Christmas and watch this movie.
Yeah.
For 7 years, lock them all into contracts and tell them it's a, you know, there's a termination date. So like Alan Rickman, every year he'll go, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. But he'll be like, oh, there's only three more to go.
Yeah.
You know, but with Spider-Man, you know, you get a hungry young actor and you go like, there's no limit, baby. You could do seven. You could be 12. You could do 20 of these things.
Yeah,
as long as you're down, we'll do them.
Yeah. It's just the decision making behind. It's just baffling to me. Like I want to be in the room. Like, yeah, it's just like again, and I don't want to go into spoilers, but to go from like, there's definitely a draft of this script and it's like, what if Peter's John Connor? And his mom is Sarah Connor, and then Madame Webb is the one trying to save him from the Terminator.
Totally.
What if she was trying to save three characters we've never met before, audiences aren't familiar with.
Yeah, and, but we are tricking the audience that goes to see Spider-Man movies to care. Like, well, I'm here to see Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man. Here are a bunch of characters you never met before that you don't care about that have nothing to do with Spider-Man.
Yeah, and honestly have very little connection to each other. Like, I watching the movie, it was like, I think you could have chosen one Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
And that might have been more effective. Not that all the actresses are great, and they're great together. Yeah. Like the parts where they're together are the best parts of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like no time because we've got to deal with like Amazonian spider people and all the fucking this bullshit. And it's like, maybe we just have characters get to know each other and grow. And like, I mean, whatever, man. You all aren't paying me to make these movies, so whatever. But
I'm not going to give them free ideas. But at the same time, I don't want to have to like go see them.
I do hope this shit. Listen, I love superhero movies. I hope this shit kills it. I hope with
me too.
With the MCU struggles right now, Madame Web. I kind of hope this kicks the genre in the teeth enough that it like studios calm down a little bit. And like maybe not every movie needs to be a superhero movie. Maybe we can do like normal movies again. And then the superhero movies we do get, they're like, oh, okay, we need to like dial it back in. Because it really feels like we're off the rails with this at this point.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just by comparison's sake, and I don't want to get into a whole tear like we have, but people are foaming at the mouth over one shot in the Deadpool trailer where he loads his guns.
Yeah.
It's a John Woo thing. And I love, there was somebody really like raked somebody over the coals. They were like, this is better than the last like 5 years of the MCU.
Yeah.
And it's just him loading guns. And someone's like, here's all the things that happened in the MCU in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Like that were interesting, groundbreaking or fun.
Yeah.
And this is a stolen John Woo trope from like literally 30 years ago. You're not saying
you just want movies, man. Like people just want movies. They just want movies again. And
what do you think Reacher is doing well? Like Reacher is just an action movie that's extended into a freaking season long show.
Dude, Reacher's so, I've started watching Reacher. It's so fucking dumb, but I totally understand because last night
for 90 minutes, it's the kind of dumb I would pay for.
100% because here's the thing, man. Like I've been kind of going through it the past couple, like a lot's going on. And so I need to catch up on Halo and I need to like, and all this, but, and stuff like that. But it's like, hey, but see, here's the thing. Halo is going to meditate on war and like the meaning of Reacher is just going to bash some guys in the face.
Damn right.
And there's probably going to be some elements of like, man, this guy's really problematic and nobody's clocking that. Everybody's like, this is the greatest guy ever. But I know it's not going to require anything of me. So it's like, even though you could argue that this show's not good, I'm watching it and I understand the purpose of it. I understand why it exists.
Totally. Yeah. But I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Like, I understand all your complaints and all your criticisms, and I completely understand, and I'm watching the hell out of it.
Exactly. Sorry. It's very watchable. And again, that just it doesn't require anything of me, which is good right now.
Yes.
But, you know, we walked right past our great transition. The multiverse, the Reacher multiverse, where him and Tom Cruise team up. No.
Ugh.
No. I would watch that. That would be pretty fun. But anyway, yeah. But we're talking about the 2023 hit film. This is a modern one for us, guys. Yeah. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Oh, wait. Dude.
Yeah.
More important than this to me personally is I gotta say, because of when this is coming out, depending on when you watch this, we could be mere days away from the completion of my Kickstarter for my movie, gunplaymovie.com, starring some people. If you're fans of this show, I'm sure you're familiar with Roxy Dryer, Steve Zaragoza, Whitney Moore, Bree Estrich, James Allen McCune, and many, many more. This is an existential crime thriller. You know, if you too want movies again, like good movies, if you're a fan of stuff like maybe Good Time or Pulp Fiction or The Big Lebowski or Breaking Bad or The Comic Criminal, like any of that stuff, I think Gunplay will be right up your alley. Since we're recording this probably a week or so before you see it, I don't know where the campaign is at this moment that you're watching this. However, movies are expensive, so we could use your support. Whatever number we're at, we could use your support. Because, the more support we have, the more flexibility we have to make a better movie. It's also a very complicated process, and so it allows us the ability to give you a better product. So people have been asking me, like, you know, what are your plans? You plan to put this in festivals and everything. And what I tell everybody is I've got plans, but the only thing I can guarantee, if you're interested in seeing this, and we have not shot it yet, we shot some test footage, we have not shot the movie. It does not exist without you supporting it, without this Kickstarter happening. I do not have some producer buddy in my back pocket. There's no secret ploy.
Swoop in at the zero hour. Colin Pop does not have the funds to help support this movie, but I did throw some shekels his way, so please.
Truly appreciate it. So if you want to see this, the only way I can guarantee you seeing it is you supporting it. So go to gunplaymovie.com. Please back it. There's a bunch of cool stuff, like you can get a signed poster, you get thanks in the credit, you can be in the movie, you can be a producer on the movie, get your name in the IMDb. All that cool stuff. So go to gunplaymovie.com, check out what we're doing over there, the video and all of that stuff. I will be mentioning it again at the end of the episode. Now, sorry, everybody. Now we're into it.
Now.
Now.
Who wants to party?
20 minutes in. Man, Sal, we're goddamn pros.
That's the show. This is what you pay for, my friend.
So we're talking about Across the Spider-Verse 2023, Miles Morales catapults across the multiverse, where he encounters a team of spider people charged with protecting its very existence. When the heroes clash on how to handle a new threat, Miles must redefine what it means to be a hero. On Rotten Tomatoes, it's got a 95% with an audience score of 94%.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's one of those. I think, if I got my numbers right here, I think it was the tomato score is a little bit lower than Into the Spider-Verse, but the audience score is a little bit higher than Into the Spider-Verse.
Right. Which seems right. People losing it over this movie.
And I'll let y'all know up front, I have criticisms of this movie, even though I really like it. But I will say, I feel like those criticisms stand out more, or maybe I feel the need to emphasize them more, because I've had so many people talk about this movie as if it's the second coming, like as if this is the greatest film ever made by people. And it's like, I don't even think it's the best Spider-Man movie, but it is really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I got to give them credit in the most backhanded way possible, where after seeing the first movie and how it was a triumphant success, and it was like done in spite of the fact that Avi Arad and Amy Pascal and company were involved with it.
Yeah.
I knew going in that the next one, regardless of what the direction was, what the creative forces behind it wanted to do, that it was going to get mucked with. I knew that they were going to be like, we learned the wrong lesson.
Yeah.
Spider-Verse for days, all the Spider-Verses. Here we go. And this movie, compared to what I expected Sony to do, in a post Madam Web Morbius world. Surprisingly restrained. Yet any of the criticisms I have for this movie may in part be because of the, like, you know, just the dam that was being held against the Sony interference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel like there was this, like, get more spider people in there. Yeah. Like, Ben Reilly, the elephant in the room for me.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like Ben Reilly is a note from Arad. Like, I feel like Ben Reilly wouldn't have been in the movie.
Maybe. You know, that's an interesting take, because I have the opposite take. I have the opposite thing, that I think my criticisms of the movie are this is the flip side of, great, you did great, now you can do anything you want. And it's like, yep. You know, maybe a little bit of, you know, maybe a little bit, because my problem with this movie is that it's bloated, and it's a little, and scripting wise, it's a little sloppy. It's a little, yep. it's just one of those, like, now you get to do everything, and yeah. you already know the movie's going to be two parts, so you don't need to condense. And everybody, if you listen to the show, brevity is the soul of wit, whatever the phrase is. Like, if you can tighten shit up. And this movie does not bother with that at all. It does not tighten anything. This is an animated movie that is over 2 hours. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's an animated movie that's part one of two movies, and it is over 2 hours long. That's egregious. That's a problem.
It's a trendsetter, but I doubt it. Yeah. It's not like Disney's going to make Frozen 3 2.5 hours long. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't.
Now, but again, I this is a movie I really enjoy. But just buckle in, everybody, because I have some notes. I have some, you know, and again, it's not from like, oh, I could do, it's from the movie they did before. Like what you guys did that time?
Yeah.
Closer to that, maybe. Closer to, because you did it. Mm.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's do things a little differently this time. That's how we start this movie. Gwen gives a recap of Into the Spider-Verse, and they recap stuff we learned in the first Spider-Verse a lot in this movie. Yes, it is a motif.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a motif. So she gives a recap of Spider-Verse. She's doing some drumming stuff. This is a scene that was infamously hard to hear in theaters.
Yeah.
And they retooled it a little bit. And I think we have, guys, I tried to get the Earths in here, but I, you know, it's numbers. I might have messed up some of the numbers. I might have messed up. I believe this Earth 65.
Oh, God.
Actually, is that right? I feel like I got that wrong. Because that's too close.
Sounds right.
But it's too close. If that feels too close to the Earth we end
it's
up
65.
In.
It's 65. You're right.
It is? All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's according to Marvel.com. So okay, like, that might be the universe, like the real
Gweniverse. Gwen. Yeah,
yeah.
So Gwen throws a fit when her bandmates are trying to, like, we're setting up a theme here with Gwen. Like, she doesn't. Everybody wants a team, but nobody wants a team. Like, that's the, you know what I mean. Like, we want someplace to belong, but we don't get along with people. Mm-hmm. We get more of Gwen's origin. We touched on in the previous movie. We get to see it here, where she fights her version of Peter Parker becomes the Lizard. This is straight from the Spider-Gwen comics. Her Peter becomes the Lizard. He dies in the fight. Classic Spider-Man shit. Gwen gets blamed. Yep. She says, I never made another friend after that, except one. Who could it be? Who is it?
I don't know. Maybe it's the main character. Who is the main character?
Who is the main? We're going to get into that, Sal. Because we're now in one of two first acts of this movie has.
There are two first acts.
There are two first acts.
It's funny. I feel like they were like, we know who the first, like there was a conversation where like the creative team and Sony, they were like, we know who the main character is. The name of Pascal's like, oh yeah, we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then three.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like one, two, three.
Yeah. And again, we're in the middle of one, which is one of my criticisms of this movie is this movie. I would imagine if you ask the creators, like, this movie has a prologue and an epilogue. The problem is the prologue and the epilogue are both independently 20 minutes long. And it's like, that's an act. That's an act in a movie.
That is completely an act for a movie that should be broken up into 20 minute chunks.
Yeah.
I feel like, there is, I mean, obviously there's a way to do that because I've seen movies where they have like dual protagonists or protagonists that mirror or parallel each other. And obviously Gwen and Miles are supposed to do that.
Yeah.
You intercut them.
Yeah.
You intercut, but the action in Miles has to mirror what Gwen's doing.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. And I think this is the problem. The success of this movie is also its detriment. There is too much love here. They are unwilling to cut anything. And as a former editor, I'm like, there's a lot of fat you could trim. And the problem is, And I get it, because it's all good shit. The performances are good. The animation is good. Like, the storytelling is good. It's just too much. And you just need to... And I feel like if you tightened it, you go from, like, a good movie to, like, into the Spider-Verse level. The preview... Like,
absolutely. No, and the audience won't even notice. It's a frustrating thing. Like, editing is, like, it's supposed to be... It's subtle. It's quiet. It will... Like, you won't notice, but your brain will.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be like, wow, that movie was really cool. I wish they... And then you just keep thinking about things you wish you saw in the movie instead of being like, they gave me the things I wanted, but I feel like either too full or not full enough.
Yeah. So we get one of a couple vocal cameos. And it's weird that I say vocal cameos because it's animated. So it's all vocal cameos. But we don't see J. Jonah Jameson, but we hear him. He is J.K. Simmons in all universes, which, listen, I get it.
I get it, but I'm like, there's an opportunity here.
True.
You know, they're especially in the MCU, that killed me. Like, I remember that was a double gut punch for me, because I remember being like, at some point during Far From Home, I was like, it's really cool. And I remember somebody complaining, some like bigwig, about how the MCU was like, we hate secret identities. And I'm like, yeah they do. Yeah, but Spider-Man, like, that's integral.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, we couldn't think of a better cat or a more fun idea to like turn J. Jonah Jameson MCU'd. So we're just going to use the guy from the last universe. And it's like, oh, and then they were like, and Peter doesn't have an identity anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, you ruined it in the post-credit scene. You've ruined everything.
Well, and
they changed my mind.
Yeah.
But
And interesting, that instinct carried over to like, we can't think of a single better actor to play Doc Ock than Alfred Molina. And it's like, why? There's a few. Like, here's a.
my pitch was either the dude who played Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Or Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill's good. You know, the one I thought of, I think it occurred to me when I was replaying Spider-Man PS4.
Yeah.
Because you got that wounded ego aspect. Bryan Cranston.
Oh, yeah.
It's Bryan like, Cranston, yeah, right? Man, because Walter White's basically, like, if you put him in the Spider-Man, you know, it's the same.
Yeah.
No respect. Anyway, J.K. Simmons, J. Jonah Jameson.
He's great.
And he's hounding spider people in every universe. I want to see the universe, dude. Spider-Verse 3, man. Get J.K. Simmons to play in that a universe where J. Jonah Jameson is Spider-Man. Give it to me.
You know what's interesting? There is a J. Jonah Jameson in this universe. He's in the post-credit scenes in the first movie.
Yeah.
Remember, they had like somebody just play him in the 67 universe.
Yeah.
It's like Spider-Man did. It's just awful.
Oh, that's right. Like, yeah, because they're trying to homage like, the. Yeah,
but it could have been J.K. Simmons, and it would have been just like, we're, you know, shooting ourselves in the foot, even when he gets sick or something.
Yeah, right. Gwen argues with her dad because he's a police captain, and he's trying to get Spider-Woman, and he blames Spider-Woman for Peter's death.
Was that played up more, by daughter. The way?
What?
The police captain stuff, like not the theme, like not the motif of the movie where it's like police captains. If you become police captain, you will die.
Yeah.
Like that's dumb. That's
oh, dude, dumb. We're gonna get into my thoughts on canon events.
Yeah. But I don't remember her dad being as aggressive.
Dude, it's funny. So you're talking about like in one of the bajillion times they retooled this movie before it got released on Blu-ray. I can't tell.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I remember it being like pretty heavy. They're pretty plastered on there pretty thick.
So
they're arguing. There's an APB about a vulture attacking the Guggenheim. Police Captain Stacy leaves, and then Gwen leaves as Spider-Gwen. The vulture comes in through they even say it like a Leonardo da Vinci type universe. Uh-huh. She even says, and I didn't, even when I first saw it, I was like, I don't like that. She says, like, why do you look like parchment? And here's my problem with that line is it then makes me wonder, what does she think she looks like? And then it's played out more like when you see like live action Donald Glover and live action Andrew Garfield, and it's like I understand, I like the idea that people from different universes are animated differently. The second the character acknowledges that, what the fuck does that mean? So are you aware that you look like a CG character?
Right, that's weird. No, and I remember like thinking he was hard to look at. But I loved it. I mean, I loved the idea. And I remember them like saying that before the movie came out, they were like, everyone's going to be different animations, like as much as we can. Now, that's a cool idea. In practice, I don't know if it works on an extended level. Like it works in this kind of sequence, but it must have been a bear to make.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was as successful as they thought it was going to be. Like, it's a cool exercise, and it makes for a great pre-Pixar short. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it makes for like a full-on 2-hour movie.
And this was kind of, I think it worked. I do think it works, but this was kind of a thing with Into the Spider-Verse where there's just a lot going on at all times. And so it can be, and I think the movie relies on that a lot. Specifically in dialect, there's a lot of crosstalk. If you have a lot of people talking quick at each other over each other, it makes it sound smarter than I think it actually is.
Oh yeah, 100%. Everyone's trying to get that Aaron Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin dialogue going.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, it's hard to do, and I think I think it works here, but it is one of those things like, "Ooh, I hope other people don't try and do this because it's again, that very conversational. It's a choice. And I think it works for Spider-Man because Spider-Man tends to be a more grounded character, and I think it works here. But it's one of those things that you see, and it's like, oh, I see how this could get incredibly grating if we lean too, literally an iota more into it. This could become very grating.
This reminds me of, you remember how, did you hear the story about how like Leonardo DiCaprio showed Martin Scorsese Ghibli movies for the first time? And he's like, oh, I guess there's other kinds of cinema. And but he didn't say that.
Yeah.
He said, I saw a Miyazaki movie for the first time, and it was because DiCaprio showed it to me. Yeah. Didn't say he liked it, which I'm 100% certain he didn't.
Yeah.
because he's an old man.
Yeah.
And he's incredibly set in his ways, and he's definitely going to be like, cartoons are for children. If you could make this, then make it for adults with real people.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely think that's his attitude.
Yeah.
But if you want to convince the Martin Scorsese of the world to like, if you were like, oh man, Spider-Verse, it was like a real adult movie. You take them to this movie, it'll blow their friggin' minds.
Yeah.
Not in the best way. They'll just be like, it was hard to follow. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
I couldn't acclimate myself. And I'm like, this is scary to old people.
Yeah. This is a movie made for kids with ADHD or grew up thinking they had ADHD. Yeah. Yes. And
super dedicated audience members who are like, I just want this. I want this all the time. Like,
well, leans into what's interesting. And I wonder how intentional this is. It leans into, something Nolan has been experimenting with, which is like, what if you couldn't understand what people were saying? What if it was just the vibe of the tone? What if it was just the tone?
What if that was the movie?
Yeah, and I think it's a choice that I don't prefer. But I get it. I think the version of this that I don't think works, everybody else seems to, is The Millers versus the Machines.
I liked that movie, but I had a similar problem with it.
Yeah, I a lot of people like that movie. For me, it felt like I was trapped inside a meme. Like, and it was like, and it just didn't click for me. And it was like this instinct just dialed up to a way that it's like, oh yeah, I don't like this. I don't.
Yeah, no.
And maybe because it's not Spider-Man, maybe that's the like.
I think that's why it didn't have universal appeal, because I think people are like, I'm willing to forgo a lot. I mean, the reality is, people are like, I'm willing to forgo a lot of things.
Yeah.
If Spider-Man is the focus point.
Yes.
And, you know, it's why people were like so hyped. Like, I honestly wonder, I haven't had much time to think about this, but I wonder if like the MCU was genuinely like refreshed in terms of people's enthusiasm by Spider-Man appearing in Civil War.
Ooh, that's a tricky one, because that's kind of at the height of their powers.
Right. Everything's going great and everybody's happy, but like you added that like bonus. You added that like that element of like an entire franchise, a separate franchise.
Yeah. I mean, well, and also it must be noted, their biggest character, Marvel's biggest character. It is, which is kind of what makes Sony's struggles even more egregious. It's like, you have the crown jewel. Yes. How are you fumbling so bad? Like, you have it'd be like if Warner Brothers had everybody but Batman. And the people that had Batman couldn't figure out how to make Batman work. And
holy
it's like,
crap.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean,
what's happening?
Warner's more or less doing that, aren't they?
I really hope, I really, really like the Matt Reeves, the Batman.
Me too.
But when they're like, Penguin Show, Scarecrow movie, Clayface, I'm like, somebody looks at the Sony movies and realizes, why would you do that? Why?
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking? But again, I'm also the one that it's like, if I were James Gunn, I would have said like, oh, by the way, the first DCU movie is the Batman. That is, and we're building off of.
Yeah.
We're, that's, 100%.
And I don't care if like Matt Reeves doesn't want to be part of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's
Oops.
Just, you know what?
Sorry.
Oh, well, Well, you're not. You know what? Then you made those two, and we'll get someone like you to make the rest of them.
Yeah. Anyway, they're fighting Da Vinci Vulture. Spider-Man 2099 shows up. Gwen makes some jokes about, like, she calls him Dark Garfield and shit. They're pretty good. That's another thing that these movies, jokes are pretty solid.
They're really solid if I can understand what they're saying half the time. Like, that was another one where I'm like, during that entire sequence, I was like, in the theater, I remember being like, this is fun, but I'm missing things.
Yeah. Well, and truthfully, this is maybe I think I saw it twice in theaters. I bought it. I watched it once before this. So this is the fourth time I've seen it. And this time I made sure to watch it with subtitles on, just to be like, okay, like, I'm taking notes. Like, I need to know.
Did you see that thing? It might've been a comment on Twitter where they were like, oh God, what was it? If maybe I'm not going deaf.
Yeah.
If we all need subtitles for our movies and shows,
yeah.
Maybe it's just too hard to hear.
Yeah, well, and I think the stuff I've seen of that is specifically in streaming, because each platform has its own thing.
Oh yeah,
and they're not like communicating well with the sound design people.
Yeah, it shows.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot of issues with. I'm a proponent of streaming as a concept. But the corporations and the studios have made it real challenging.
Who thought?
Who could have guessed? Like, literally every aspect of our culture, corporations are making it more challenging than it needs to be. Maybe someday we'll do something about it. Anyway, Miguel chastises Gwen for the Collider mess. We learn that the reason we're having issues with Parchment Vulture is because of the Collider situation from the previous Spider-Man movie into the Spider-Verse. Jessica Drew shows up, played by Issa Rae, as Miguel's backup. She's pregnant. What do you think? Because I feel like they'd address it in the movie if this was the case, but I can't help but, like, is that Miguel's baby? Is that she does? It is weird though. Like, she's like, I think the line is, he hopes it's a boy, like, or like he's like a goofball or something, but he's so hot. And if that's the case, Miguel's in the room. So that's a weird way to phrase it, but
Well, maybe she's trying to keep it on. He's like, keep it on the down low.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me at all. I was just like, because I was more like, is she only here and pregnant because of that one, like, inflammatory cover that people freaked out about back in the day?
There was the whole arc where
Spider-Woman was pregnant. Oh yeah, no, I know, but like, people didn't read it.
Oh yeah.
They just saw the cover. They were
yeah. I think so. I think, hey, listen, it's the only time people have talked about Jessica Drew since, like, fucking Secret Invasion. So
yeah, that's fair.
She's not showing up as a Skrull. All right. During the whole, this is all intercut in this fight. Jessica wants to recruit Gwen, but Miguel won't allow it. Miguel's about ready to vampire out and kill the Vulture. Which I hope we kind of address more in the next movie.
I bet we don't.
Yeah, probably. Vulture knocks a police chopper out of the sky. We get one of those classic spider people saves where there's a big object that we need to web up and save people.
How do they get that down?
Great question. We have somebody say a stupid line. After we've seen the heroes stop this helicopter and save everybody, and somebody's like, because they're in an art museum, I think it's a Banksy. That's stupid.
that was weak.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. The guy, Egypt, what does that mean? Anyway, listen, if you're throwing and I will say, we're gonna miss stuff, guys, because these movies are dense. If you're throwing at people like a joke a minute, not all of them are gonna land. So after they save the day, Captain Stacy shows up, gun on Gwen. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So she takes off her mask. She asks her dad to stop being a cop for a second and listen to her as a dad. But, you know, cops are going to cop. And so he tries to arrest her. And Miguel jumps in and subdues Captain Stacy with a little portal thing. Like a shield thing.
Yeah.
That's going to come back in later. So they put a pin in that one.
Yeah.
And Miguel invites, because she has no place to go now. So Miguel invites her into the club. And now we get the opening credits, and I stopped the movie, Sal. I've been wanting to do this the fourth time I've watched it. I finally did it. I stopped. I'm like, how long in the movie are we?
Right.
And we are 20 minutes. The movie hasn't even started yet, and we're 20 minutes in.
Yeah. Well, for them, it has.
Yeah.
This is the first time I just put together that both Gwen and Miles have cop dads.
Yeah. We love it.
I can't believe I've not.
We love it, Sal. We love it. Give them all the cops. Everybody has a cop dad. Gwen originally had a cop dad. That's her excuse.
Yes, yes. No, Jefferson was not a cop. Yeah. But he was a SHIELD agent, which is like a cop times five.
Yeah. Well, no, Jefferson originally was... What I'm saying is like Gwen, before she was Spider-Gwen, when she was romantic love interest Gwen, still had
cop. It was still Captain Stacy.
Yeah.
She always had a cop dad.
Always had a cop dad. But again, you know... Jefferson also had the name Jefferson Davis, which you pointed out to me when we talked about.
Yeah, it was the president of the Confederacy.
Yeah,
I remember like when they announced, like when Miles came out.
Yeah,
and they were like, "Oh, it's Jefferson Davis." I'm like, "What? No, that yeah. no."
And this movie makes the correct choice of like it's Jefferson Morales now. Why doesn't
because,
matter?
Because he opened a history book once. Went, "Oh no,
oh no, oh no." Mm-mm.
How did my dad get away with this?
Yeah. A black man that's a cop named Jefferson Davis. That was definitely a character created by a white man. That's definitely a character created by a white man.
That's Bendis. And I'm like, Bendis, how did you mess that up?
Yeah.
Just check. Just Google the name.
So here's something that stood out to me, Sal. So now we go to Brooklyn Earth. They call it 1610. I've been calling it 1610. That's also in Hickman's new Ultimate Universe. That's the designation. Was that always the Ultimate Designation?
No, the Ultimate Designation was 1610. That was the real Ultimate Universe.
Okay.
Hickman's is 6160.
So it's a reverse. That's what's confusing me. Because I was like, oh, that's clever, 6160. And then I saw this, and the little tiny bit of dyslexia in my brain was like, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
It's an inverse with a zero. Got it. Yeah. Okay.
And it's frustrating because I'm like, why? Like, why don't you work with Marvel about the numbers? Like, right?
Oh, yeah, because the Miguel gets a line where he calls he has MCU. A little line about the No Way Home, and he calls it what I would label the correct designation, because 616 is the comic universe.
In the comic universe, that number that he gives is the comic book designation for the MCU. So it's like, yeah, no, actually, Spider-Verse is more accurate.
Exactly. And even, God bless, Iman Vellani, the new Ms. Marvel, because she apparently continuously gets in fights with Kevin Feige about this. And I just love that she's so young to not know that you probably shouldn't be doing that. You probably shouldn't be getting those fights. God bless you. I think that's you're doing the Lord's work.
It's true. Well, she's just so adorable and charismatic. It's like, we'll give her a pass every single time.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to change it either.
Yeah.
And we're not going to change that it was 7 years later in Homecoming either.
For some reason, we can't release a version of Across the Spider-Verse that hasn't been changed in some way. But God forbid, we just changed the title card.
Just change the numbers.
Or like move the title, get rid of it. I don't know. Like I think people will be able to.
No one cares how much time.
Son of a bitch. Anyway, okay. So now we're into our second first act. The Moraleses are at I wrote a parent-teacher conference. I think it's actually like a college assessment. What it's like, basically, Rachel Dratch, who plays Mrs. Weber, is there to like, there's a name for, I don't know what this is. It's college counseling. Like, here's how you get your kid into the college he wants to go to.
She's a guidance counselor.
There you go. Sorry guys, I was homeschooled through high school. All right. So I didn't go through this bullshit.
Oh, you missed out on being failed by the system.
Yeah.
Every level for 4 years.
Yeah. I was, yeah. Yep. So meanwhile, the spot played by, Jason Schwartzman, who's great, by the way, in this. And listen, I love Spot love. Spot's one of those characters that as a kid you're like, Spot's stupid. Yep. And yet Spot continuously, like with creators like Mark Waid, stuff like that, are like, no, actually Spot's, you could do some really cool shit with Spot.
Yeah. It's annoying how formidable he is. Like, I remember as a kid being like, he's so stupid. And then being like, oh, no, it's Spot. And I'm like, stop.
Yeah. Dude, and it's what's interesting is in a lot of ways, he is the classic Spider-Man villain in that sense of the scale of his powers far outstrip his ambition.
Yeah.
Or intelligence. Yeah.
Well, and he's not a spider clone. Like, it's just Spider-Man has to use his agility, strength, speed, sense, and intelligence to figure out how to outwit a foe that isn't him.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So the Spot's trying to rob a bodega ATM. It's not going well for him. He says to the guy running the place, "I've never robbed anybody in my life. Please don't make this a bad experience for me." and basically, what we learn is that He was actually, I'm going to jump ahead and condense a couple things because there's a few spot fights. But basically, he was one of the scientists involved in the Collider experiment in the first movie. Somehow, for reasons that are unclear to me, he is aware that he was responsible for bringing the spider that bit Miles over. And so he's able to correctly assess. That's a, you know, that's an interesting aspect of this movie, is that on the one hand, unwilling to like cut anything, and yet they yada yada a lot of shit. They're like,
they really do.
They're like, I'm responsible for you. It's like, how does he know that?
How do you know that? How do you know what universe it's from? Like, you don't know. We do know he's the scientist who got bageled.
Yes.
But that's it?
Yeah. Yeah. And so somehow he's aware that he brought the spider over the bit Miles. And he was also in the room when the collider exploded, which made him the spot.
Which we never saw in the first movie.
We never saw in the first movie. Meanwhile, Miles is rehashing his own backstory. We learned that Aunt May, he's catching us up. And it's also an echo of stuff we did in the first movie. He makes mistakes, whatever. The important thing is we also learned he's been developing his venom power. Put a pin in that. Meanwhile, he's texting his parents with Mrs. Weber. He's trying to get into this classic Spider-Man shit. He's trying to get to the counselor meeting. He goes into his room where Genki's playing a video game, and Genki very specifically says, "I'm not your guy in the chair."
Mm-hmm. I'm not the guy from the MCU, even though I definitely am the guy from the MCU.
I am the guy from the MCU.
Not played by him.
Yeah. Again, God bless the Spider-Man video games.
Yeah.
It's good Genki in those games.
Agreed. Yeah.
In the meeting, classic parent stuff. Like, we get some good jokes about it. He's got to be in Spanish. Of course, his mom is Puerto Rican.
Yep.
Dominican. Puerto Rican?
I think Puerto
Rican. Oh, yeah. She says because Puerto Rico is part of the United States.
Yeah.
I got confused because he has a line. They're watching a thing with Spider-Man, and mom's like, maybe he's Puerto Rican. And he says, no, I think Dominican. And I was trying to be like, wait, is he trying to throw him off the scent, or is he like, wink, wink? Think about it more. No, I think it's Puerto Rican.
No, he's throwing it off.
And if I'm getting it wrong, I apologize, everybody.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure you're right. Yeah. But here's the thing that really baffled me. I'm watching the movie, and I remember going, in the theater, I remember going, like, why does she look like Rachel Dretch?
Uh-huh.
Oh, she's played by her.
Yes.
It's a cartoon. She could look like anything. Why did you basically cast, like, do you know her? Is she, like, do you owe her a favor?
Yeah.
Like, what is this weird, like, we don't make everybody look, Shameik Moore doesn't look anything like Miles Morales.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why are we making them look like the character they're playing?
It's
like,
a cameo, Sal. It's a cameo.
The boys, Jason Schwartzman. We don't even see his face in this movie.
Yep. And so they're in this. We find out Miles wants to go to Princeton to study quantum physics. His mom thinks that's too far away.
Jersey boy for me. Good for you, Miles.
Yeah. I like this line. Miles says, there are people out there that can teach me things that I want to learn, but they aren't all in Brooklyn. Maybe they're in the multiverse. Miles, this is the second half of the spot fight. While they're in the middle of the thing, Miles sees the spot escaped. And Jeff gets an APB call. So they head out, leaving Rio on her own.
Yep.
The fight goes to Alchemex. This is where we learn the backstory of the spot. This is another line I really like, that I think like, ooh, pull that and use it for other characters, because I think, because I brought this up when we were talking about like maybe Eddie Brock's motivation and adaptation. Spot says to him, you make your little flippy comments and everybody loves them, but nobody knows what it's like to be on the other side of them. It's like, wow, that's actually, that's like a throw. We never like revisit that, but there's actually a lot to unpack there. Like,
yeah. Although I will say, there is a character from the 90s cartoon show that is all about that, and it's the Scorpion. He doesn't like being called names.
He doesn't like being called names. But yeah, I think there's like...
No, there's something actually there.
Yeah, but yeah, I think like we could... let's pull that. I actually like the spot a lot. I like... And I like the arc of everybody... And they call him like Villain of the Week.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm the arch nemesis. That's where he's going. And he'll achieve that halfway through the movie, weirdly, and then we'll forget about it for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, because that's not important anymore.
Yeah. Spot is defeated because he accidentally kicks his own butt and ends up inside of himself. It makes sense in context of the movie. And when he's inside of himself, he starts sticking his head through his own holes. And like he sees an old-timey like comic booky universe, and then he sees a Lego universe, and Lego Spider-Man calls in. That's another J.K. Simmons. Can't we get a J. Jonah Jameson? J.K. Simmons. Boom. We got him for a day, and we had him record a bunch of Jonah lines.
There's no way they didn't. That's right. Half a day.
Yeah, half like an hour probably. Yeah. Over the phone. And Lego Spider-Man calls Miguel, and I do like it. People in theater cracked up. I still crack up when, like, I think it's Oscar Isaac's line delivery, like, "Thank you, Peter. You're one of our best." And then,
yes, that was great. Also, Lego a child Spider-Man. Made that sequence, which is cool.
Yeah, right. Because it's one of those, it's somebody that does like little Lego animatics or whatever, and they just called that person and had him do it, which is incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure the animators are really appreciated.
Yeah, animators probably really appreciate it. I hope they paid him decent.
I bet they didn't.
Were they probably not? Miles' dad is becoming captain. A lot of captain talk. And if for those uninitiated, apparently police captains are the most important part of the Spider-Man mythos.
yes, because one time they were important.
Yeah,
because
that what literally... And they say it's, I didn't write it down, but it's like event ASM, whatever. And I was like, I'm sure that's the issue that it happened in.
That he dies in, yeah.
Yeah. Granted, and to their credit, sorry, we're jumping ahead, everybody, but to their credit, Jefferson does die in the comics. And of course, Captain Stacy dies in the comics.
He dies?
Didn't Jeffrey, I think he's back now, but Jefferson, he died in the video game.
He dies in the game. Mom dies in the Ultimate Universe.
I thought it was... Is it Mom? Oh, you're right.
Yeah, Mom gets eaten by Venom in the main Ultimate Universe. And then after he gives a burger to Molecule Man, he's in the main universe and everyone's back to life.
Hmm. Yeah. Miles should have kept existing in his own universe. Anyway, yeah, I agree. Good point. Anyway, here's my other note with that, and I'm sorry we're jumping ahead, but when Jessica Drew's like, "Yeah, that happened to me too," I'm like, "No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
No, it didn't. You liar. It didn't.
You're Jessica Drew's Spider Woman. You're not. You're barely enough out of this." I'm like, "Did Sony have to get her from Marvel? Does Sony have the rights to Jessica Drew?"
Yeah, unfortunately, they do. And I'm like,
"That's
why?
Crazy. That's and crazy.
I guarantee it's because of the name. It's because of the name.
That's crazy." Anyway,
I know.
So, Jefferson is becoming captain that night, and he is, so there's a part, or no, he's not that night, but they're having a party about it to celebrate that he got promoted to captain. So Miles needs to get cakes. He does it as Spider-Man again. Credit where it's due, man. They get the Spider-Man tone. He needs to. Yeah, he needs to get these cakes, and of course, every goddamn thing happens on the way of getting the cakes. He has to fight Armadillo. He stops a petty thief. Yeah, a lot of petty thieves stop. You know, I don't know.
By the way, Armadillo, they probably had to get permission from Marvel to use him. He's not a Spider-Man character. He's a Captain America villain.
Interesting. Like, that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
I do like the instinct. And again, it goes back to, I wish we had like a Miles animated series or Miles movies where he wasn't, because I'm really interested in the idea of like, what are Miles' unique rogues?
Yeah.
You know, Armadillo, Spot, we got Lady Octopus.
Yeah.
What else is different? Like, that'd be so interesting.
I know. And I want that Spider-Man stuff. Like, I want the cake scene in the main universe, in the MCU, but with no aunt or relatives, we're not going
to
get
that. And we're going to get into that, too. Like, I have a lot of notes of, like, da-da-da character has a heart-to-heart. Da-da-da character has a heart-to-heart. and that's kind of dismissive, and it can be kind of repetitive, but as kind of an antidote to kind of the way the MCU Spider-Man is run, I think what makes people attach so much to these movies, and I think is effective, is they really care about the emotional reality of these characters. That's just as important as the web swinging stuff. And I think that's just as important to Spider-Man as the web swinging stuff.
100%. 100%. Agreed.
So anyway, Miles is late. The cakes are fucked up. There's supposed to be a whole thing. And he got two cakes because he was saying too much. But they're so messed up that it says, "I am not proud," between the two cakes.
It's hilarious.
Jeff and Rio are just really, and truthfully, and I think the movie understands this, like, rightfully kind of pissed off because they don't know Miles is Spider-Man. And so it looks it looks bad.
it looks bad, especially in front of everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that's a good scene. I remember if I were a kid watching that movie, I would have felt much more like,
Yeah. My only note with the scene is it is repetitive of the, it conveys the same information as the guidance counselor is saying.
Yeah.
And again, I think the movie's a little long, so I'd be like, pick one.
cut the guidance counselor scene.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Miles has the classic line, I'm 15, I'm basically an adult. Never not funny.
Good line. Yeah. It's always funny when they say that.
Yep. And they do, man. Kids say that shit. Kids say that shit.
I love the last time I heard it, what was it? The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
I'm 16 years old, but not a child. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. All right.
As a child, I thought that meant something. And then I was 16. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Miles is grounded for 2 months. It goes from 1 month to 2 months. And Miles, when he's in private back in his room, he's like, I'm Spider-Man. I'm not grounded. And it was like, I wrote my notes. I'm like, see, this is why Spider-Man, he needs those responsibility lessons, because a teenager would really act out with this shit.
Oh, yeah. But they'd know.
Yeah.
Like, his parents would know by now.
Yeah.
Because he'd be like, he'd want a big dramatic reveal.
Yeah.
They were giving him a hard time. I got the moral high ground here. I'm Spider-Man.
I'm fucking Spider-Man. Miles is chilling and listening to music when everything starts to float. This is basically, I don't think it was a post-credit scene. I think it was the last scene.
I think it was just the last shot of the movie.
This is that. So
does that mean that, like, between the movies, like, you know what I mean? Like, this whole movie, like, or this part of the movie takes place immediately following Spider-Verse?
Yeah, basically, there's a time jump at in the last scene of Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. Gwen shows up. And
bad influence.
Yeah, really bad influence, man. Because it's one of those things. I feel like I'm one of the few people, I don't like the Miles-Gwen romance.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because it feels like we're going to give Miles one of Peter's old love interests, and Gwen has to be in love with a Spider-Man. Like, can't they have their own? They're distinct characters. Can't they have their own independent love interest? And it's also like, it's also one of the reasons I don't like Dick Grayson ending up with Barbara Gordon, is because there's the same. It's too similar. They have them be into somebody different. It's two bat people. It's two spider people. It's shake it up.
I agree with that, but these companies are thinking about, like, franchises and like keeping people in their bubble.
Yeah. Well, and also, and what I was going to say is, also, I get it, man. Yeah. She's running around in that skin tight Spider-Man outfit. I get it, dude. Like, when she's out the window and she's like, "Is Spider-Man grounded?" It's like, fuck you. That's not fair.
Hell no.
I'm trying to be a good kid here, man. That's not.
Yeah. I'm following you.
Yeah, I'm going to make some fucking mistakes, man. So they leave. Rio and Jeff show up literally right at against classic Spider-Man shit. They show up like right after he's left to talk, and that's what makes it heartbreaking. And not a gag. Is they're like, okay, things got heated. We're gonna do the good parent thing. Dial things down. We've waited, and now you're gone. And so it's like,
just gonna ramp right back up. Oh yeah,
yeah.
No, it's great.
Gwen tells Miles about the spider societies. They swing through the city. We get hints of Hobie. Gwen's like, I hang out on this one universe with Hobie. And Miles is like, tell me more. Also, as an audience member, this is the first time watching this movie with all the little Hobie gags, where it's like, how old is Hobie? Because Gwen, I believe, is in high school still. And that is not the vibe I get from Hobie.
No, but you know... Speaking from experience, not from Hobie's perspective, but rather from Miles's perspective.
Yeah.
This be how it is.
All right.
Like, if you're going to be, like, picked over, or, you know, there's going to be some creepy 19-year-old, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who is like, well, I might have been like a 4 or 5 when I was in high school, but now that I have a car and I should be in college.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a 9, aren't I?
Yeah, like, man, yeah, I get what you're saying. Here's my problem with it. I like Hobie a lot. And and that makes me like Hobie a little bit less. That makes me like Hobie
He's an anarchist, man. Yeah. He doesn't have time for your rules.
You're making me uncomfortable, Sal. You're making me uncomfortable.
He's like the character from that Transformers movie that knows what a Romeo and Juliet law is.
Yeah. I don't like it. Age of consent's different in my universe. Ooh, I don't like it. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Does he say that? I hope he doesn't
say that. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. It's just that's where we're headed.
Well, because I don't think... I think... I don't think they're like actually together.
Here's the thing. I don't think they are. I don't think they are. But the movie, like, this was the first time I was like, oh man, they definitely did it. And then I thought about their ages. I'm like, oh, I hope they didn't. I hope they didn't. I hope that Hobie's younger than he, because it's like all the spider people are kind of, so maybe Hobie is like late high school. Like maybe it's not, it's just, that's not how the character projects.
No, he projects as like an adult, or at least like a, he's out of his teens. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, there's going to be a running gag that Gwen spends time with Hobie and Miles is jealous.
I like that. It's fun and cute. And I like Miles a lot in these movies because of how vulnerable he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of good work with Miles in modern stuff, to the point where it's like, yeah, I'm kind of okay if we retire Peter and we say, like, listen, Miles is the guy. Maybe not in Spider-Man 3, the video game, because there's still some Peter story left that we haven't gotten. A Green Goblin. Green Goblin's not a Miles villain. He's a Peter villain. Yeah. But otherwise, like in the comics, I'm okay if we say, like, yeah, maybe Peter's just a mentor and Miles is the guy. Yeah. Anyway,
we'll see.
Miles and Gwen have a gravity-defying heart-to-heart. There it is in my notes. That is also confusing because Miles, it's cool in that, the visual of it, they're upside down or whatever, but Miles is literally sitting cross-legged and it's like, ooh, time out, wait a second, how does that work?
He's gonna pass out.
Well, not just the pass out, the sticky parts are on the, it's not on your ass. How are you?
No, it is. No.
They stick everywhere?
No. They stick everywhere.
That makes
That's
me
how it works, baby. No. Every part of his body has that ability.
Don't like that, Sal. Don't like it.
And you would, folks at home, you can find out by picking up your old Spider-Man annuals from the 90s, where they dedicated full-ass story pages to Spider-Man explaining his powers to Mary Jane in excruciating detail, and Mary Jane providing hilarious commentary. For example, the sequence where he talks about every part, they show him, like, he's sticking by his back, like he's his back adheres, and his wife says that like promises to put us in some very interesting situations, and he says, maybe, but now's not the time to think about it.
We gotta wait till, like, the readers leave.
Right. And I'm like, but what are you talking
about? In fact, I would think that would create problems. I feel like that would create problems.
Well, he wants to, you know,
he has to be able to turn it off, otherwise there's got to be a lot.
It's at will. It's at will.
So
it's,
man, like, maybe Spider-Man is magic. Maybe he is. Anyway, Rio and Jeff, they go back to Miles and Gwen go back to the party to get some food. Rio and Jeff see Miles and Gwen talking, and they kind of like interject themselves into the conversation. Rio has the nice line. She looks old enough to vote. Miles tries to talk his way into the Spider Society, but it's shut down. This is where Rio and Jeff come in. And Gwen, when they were swinging, Gwen like left a little track. Gwen like fucking fumbles this hard because she leaves a little tracker to the point where I'm like, Jessica, why did you even let Gwen come to this universe? Like, what the fuck were you thinking? There's a billion spider people. Send one of the other ones.
I guess because there aren't a lot of spider girls.
Yeah, man. I guess. So anyway, Gwen left a little tracker where the spot was, and it gets a little ping on her watch, so she leaves. Rio has a heart-to-heart. There it is with Miles. There's this whole... This section is so good they use this, not big action shit, they use this as the foundation for their trailer. Like, they knew, ooh, this is for the for this, this is the money right here.
yeah it was good, and it's good stuff. It's just like, that's the meat and potatoes of Spider-Man. That's what makes it work.
Yeah, man. And then I didn't write the whole thing, but she says, it's hard seeing my little man not be my little boy all the time. And she says, like, wherever you go, you have to promise me to take care of that little boy. And basically, like, you know, don't let people tell you don't belong. You know, she's laying out the themes that will become important later.
Exactly.
Am I one of the audience members that thinks Rio's fucking fine? Yeah, man, I'm into it.
Yeah.
But anybody that knows me personally knows Rio's my type. That's
fair.
Latin ladies, that's my type. Gwen arrives at Spot's lab after explosion. Little cool design where there's little spots throughout the thing. Although now that I think about it, now that I say it, I was like, wait, how's that whole building holding together? There's literally holes throughout all of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah, maybe they're tunnels and they have like support.
Maybe. She's able to magically replay what happened in the lab, and we learned that the Spot is trying to juice himself up, but he needs to get to some place. He just needs enough power. He makes a little collider to get to some place with a full collider. Yeah. And Jessica shows up in hologram to scold Gwen about letting the Spot get away. Again, I think this is kind of unjust for sending the one person that has an emotional connection to this universe there. That's kind of on you. Miles is following all this because with his invisibility power that also doesn't make sense to me. But you've heard me bitch about that on previous episodes. We are now, and Miles follows Gwen into the portal, and this is where we're going to stop episode one. But I do want to note, we are now where a movie would traditionally break into its second act. Like, this would be the second act, but this is where like the actual plot of the movie kicks in, and we're an hour into this movie.
Yeah.
And
we're kind of there.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the multiverse.
We haven't seen the multiverse. Yet. We haven't gotten into what ends up being the actual main conflict of this movie. And I love everything that's come before. I'm just saying, could be tighter is all I'm saying.
I agree.
Could be tighter.
I think it's maybe it's because there are two movies here.
It's more than that, actually, Sal. I think you're right. I think, but it's multiple. It's almost episodes of a show. Because when in my notes, when I started breaking up in the segments, it actually worked for me better. Like it was less, or maybe it was even coming at this because for those that aren't regular listeners to Spider-Versity, we've been doing Spectacular Spider-Man and Spider-Man the Animated Series, where when Sal and I record these, we record like four episodes back to back, and that mindset, this actually functioned better to me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if I told myself, like, oh, it's episodes of a show, to the point where I actually think that's almost intentional, because there's a few points, I don't know that it quite tracks, but they'll do that. They'll cut to, like, a stack of comics, and they'll be like, this is issue two, or this is issue three, and it's sequential. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's almost an intentional, like, hey, this is kind of like episodes of a show.
Yeah.
And speaking of episodes of a show, that's where we end this part. Sal, where can the kids find more of you?
Swing by youtube.com/comicpop or Comic Pop Returns and check out me and my friends yucking it up about comic books.
Oh, just yuck it up with Sal and his friends. Listen, you can find me at DJ Talks Trash, but you can also find my movie, or the movie I want to make, at gunplaymovie.com. It's an incredible cast that I'm so excited to work with. Again, as I said at the beginning of the episode, we have not filmed. We are not able to film unless you support it. And again, depending on who watches this when, I don't know where we'll be at in the campaign, but I can guarantee you we could always use more support. The more support we get, the better movie we get to make, and the more things we get to do with that movie. And I think you guys will enjoy it. And I know it's not like we're talking about super stuff and this isn't a superhero thing, but it is fast paced. It is irreverent. Yeah. I think if you like this stuff, I think as I do, I know, I point out my criticisms, but I love this stuff. I think, and it comes from that place. I think you'll love this too. So please go to gunplaymovie.com. Please support it. We really appreciate it. And if you're listening to this on the main feed, and you want part two, you can do that over patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Plus, like, we've covered every Spider-Man movie up to this point. Spider-Man, the Animated Series, Spectacular Spider-Man. We're going to be jumping into a new animated series soon. So stay tuned for that. And we'll see you all next time.